Territory Podcast. For this episode, we invited Kalyan Krishnaswamy to the show to talk us through the VMware Visa and Max announcements. Welcome to the show, Kalyan.
Thanks, Duncan. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, it's the first time you're joining us, and I guess it's probably good for our listeners to give a brief introduction in terms of what you do at VMware, but maybe you can also talk a bit about what you did before you joined VMware, because I also think that's typically interesting for our listeners to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to do so. So again, my name is Kalyan Krishnaswamy. I'm part of the vSAN product management team. My primary area of focus is the purpose of this discussion, which is full storage disaggregation based on vSAN. I've been in the PM team for about 2 years now, but did a variety of different roles, field-facing roles prior to that. I've been in this industry for over 20 years, ranging from systems and storage administration to solutions architecture and a variety of SE-facing roles for a variety of products, including VMware, of course, over the course of my career. And I joined VMware about 6 years back as a technical account manager. And as mentioned, the last 2 years, I've been a product manager with the vSAN team focusing on vSAN Max.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's always good that product managers have spent some time in the field as well, so that allows them to understand some of the problems that customers are facing. And talking about problems, you already alluded to what we're going to talk about today, which is vSAN Max. It's probably good to explain why VMware is getting into that space and what kind of problem we are trying to solve with a disaggregated HCI solution.
Yeah, thanks. This is a fantastic question. You're right. It is very important to set context on why we're going down this path towards full disaggregation. As we all know, just to take a step back a second, as we all know, vSAN HCI is very flexible when it comes to its deployment topologies, right? We essentially meet our customers where their requirements lie. And some of the examples could be, in the form of single site, edge, robo, multi-site with our stretch cluster support, and do a variety of different things, including allowing you to share capacity across vSAN clusters, so as to normalize the utilization of those vSAN clusters across the vSAN clusters in your environment. But there are a few areas we are looking to address with the HCI model or enhance with this HCI model by providing more flexibility in the form of solutions for our customers. One is we intend to provide the ability to scale compute and storage independent of each other, which is not the primary focus of an HCI-based solution where it's based more on linear scaling of both compute and storage, right? By that, what I mean is when you have a requirement to scale storage, you're implicitly scaling also compute in the environment. Another area is to decouple the lifecycle of storage and compute, which becomes interesting, which is implied in the, when you're in a traditional storage market, for example, but in an HCI environment, when you're upgrading one, you're implicitly upgrading the other. So decoupling compute and storage keeps the lifecycle of one independent of the other, which brings more flexibility in your environment. Three is we would like to provide the ability to provide storage to discrete vSphere clusters. Right now in an HCI model, for the most part, the capacity within the context of an HCI deployment is to be used by the workloads running on the HCI deployment as well. So with some exceptions, there are mostly these workloads run within providing storage to the workloads in the HCI model. So we'd like to provide more flexibility in allowing storage from backed by vSAN be consumed by workloads outside of the workloads that are running on the model itself. This is another important point to note. And perhaps most importantly, we want to make sure that we're still focused on a vCenter-based, vAdmin-based deployment model, right? So we want to be able to allow this flexibility of deployments so that customers can deploy based on their requirements, like based on their application requirements and needs, but manage it centrally through VC, right? So you can have the HCI deployment model adjacent to the fully disaggregated deployment model, but manage it consistently and monitor it consistently.
Now, does that mean that this particular solution, in this case vSAN Max, is also intended to be deployed for customers at a particular size or scale? Listening to some of the use cases you explain, it sounds like we're actually targeting a specific market. Can you explain what that looks like?
Sure. Yeah, vSAN Max supports far higher densities than what you'd see in a typical HCI-based deployment model. On the higher end of the scale, we support up to 360 on a per node basis, yielding upwards of 8 petabytes per cluster, delivering significant performances up to 3.6 million IOs for that given cluster as well. But that does not mean you deploy, at that density, because we understand that flexibility, and again, making sure CapEx costs are maintained low as well, we understand that flexibility of deployment models are also important. So if customers can certainly choose to start small and scale up, meaning add more storage devices within the context of an existing host, or scale out by adding more nodes to the clusters on an as-needed basis, right? And this is based on your application requirements. So you can start a far smaller than that and add more hosts to increase while maintaining the existing hardware footprint, depending on which hardware you choose to deploy this on. And we can do this by increasing the per node capacity to up to 7x of what is typical, when compared to an HCI-based deployment, while reducing the overall TCO for mission-critical workloads by 30%. And what this allows you to do in your data center is provide a centralized shared storage offering for all vSphere clusters needing unified block and file and partner-based object. So now that we've just discussed sort of the flexibility that vSAN Max provides for you, we should probably touch on a couple of use cases as well. So with this new deployment model, you can now right-size the deployment of your third-party applications. I think it's important to note that in an HCI model, you are bound by the compute and storage that's part of the cluster. But in a DHCI model, you can right-size these vSphere clusters, say, for example, for your database environments running on vSphere. This approach allows you to sort of optimize your database licensing costs by containing the workloads on fewer hosts. You also, for example, have the capability to provide shared storage to modern cloud-native applications. That, if you think about the deployment of those cloud-native applications, which are container-based applications, actually it could be container and VM-based applications that sort of form a single application group. These could be running anywhere in the data center, right? Because they are while the data needs to be persistent, the containers themselves are ephemeral. So they could be killed and restarted sort of anywhere in any cluster in your data center. But they also require shared storage access so that when they come back up, they are away and running. So these are applications that typically don't need the linear scale of compute and storage as you'd see it in a HCI model. So all of these workloads can now be consolidated and standardized onto a vSAN Max cluster.
Well, it sounds like there are many different use cases then, and it's interesting to hear about the size as well. Now, from a management perspective, most of the listeners will probably want to know how it's managed, how it's configured. You already mentioned vSAN server, but are those workflows the same as with vSAN HCI?
Yeah, this is a great question. This is probably one of the biggest benefits of us providing support for a full disaggregated model. It is important to note that in vSAN Max deployments, even though the compute and storage are disaggregated, first off, the underlying construct is still 100% vSAN, right? And specifically, it's vSAN ESA. We're not sort of exposing, we don't create the storage-only cluster and expose NFS share or anything like that to the guest workloads or the guest clusters. So we're not exposing NFS share from the vSAN Max environment over to the compute nodes. It's still vSAN under the covers, and most importantly, to your point and question, managed as such. So vSAN Max is, of course, as I discussed earlier, is based on vSAN ESA, and there are a variety of reasons for this choice. Let me touch on maybe a couple important ones here. I'm sure your listeners are fully aware of the benefits that vSAN ESA brings to the table, right? But ESA has a whole new take on snapshots. It's extremely high performant, low overhead, enterprise class snapshotting mechanism, right? That is par for the course or required for when you talk about it within the context of a storage only cluster. Two is ESA has significantly enhanced its approach towards, its thinking towards data services. Of course, performance is key, and we've significantly improved the performance of these data services, but also the layer in our stack where data services are performed. That is to say, it's done much higher in the stack, closer to where the I/O happens, when compared to original storage architecture, which was done closer to where the devices reside. And this has significant benefits, right, including CPU networking savings. If you think about it, if you apply compression, now you're not, everything below that happens requires, because there's less data, it requires far less, CPU cycles, but also since you're sending less data, there's networking savings as well. And then last and perhaps most importantly, the patented high performance file system that's part of ESA allows us to achieve the densities we just discussed without compromising on performance. But yeah, after you deploy vSAN Max, you can, within the context of the same vCenter, you can deploy an ATI cluster, and adjacent to that, spin up a separate vSAN Max cluster and deploy workloads based on their workload needs, but still be managed centrally and monitored centrally within the context of a VI admin.
Now, you mentioned ESA, the Express Storage Architecture, and hopefully most of the folks listening have listened to the episodes with Pete Giller, and he explained all about ESA. But one of the things that stands out with ESA is that there are specific requirements as well in terms of the number of hosts, the type of flash devices, the networking, etc. Is that for vSAN Max the same as it is for ESA, or is it different?
Yeah, and if your listeners have not listened to Pete's recording, they must, because Pete is amazing and there's a lot of good information in there. But you're absolutely right. vSAN Max is based entirely on vSAN ESA, as we just discussed, has all the sort of the underlying requirements that vSAN ESA also has, such as probably the most important change is fully based on it's an NVMe based platform, etc. And these requirements follow through with vSAN Max as well. But keeping in mind that we are a storage-only cluster, by that what I mean is we can densify our nodes on Max far higher than what we see in HCI deployments, as we don't run, the workloads themselves are not running on a vSAN Max cluster. But we can also do this with far fewer hosts than compared to an HCI-based deployments. And to make things easy to consume, we'll also, just similar to what you have in vSAN ESA, we'll have Arinode profiles to match the desired densities on a per node and cluster basis. So as discussed earlier, depending on the profile you choose, you can start small based on requirements and then scale up or scale out based again on requirements, but we provide you the flexibility to start with a smaller or Arinode profile, but still scale up all the way to the maximums we discussed. We'll also provide day zero through day two guidance on how to design, deploy, and manage your Max environment. Speaking of Pete Keeler, he has got a bunch of blogs out there already and documentation sort of would help you, as mentioned, design, deploy, and manage your vSAN environment based on your requirements, and provide sort of best practices on, just talking points and thinking through how best to do it. So he walks through a whole bunch of those as part of his blogs. Finally, we'll also have integration with vSAN Sizer, so you can craft a vSAN Max cluster based on application needs and model your workloads against this cluster, so you have the most optimal operational experience.
Now, when we're talking about limits, one of the things that have come up multiple times, at least with the customers that I spoke with already, is one of the limits in terms or requirements in terms of the number of hosts. So there are a couple of things floating around on the internet. First of all, it seems that the minimum number of hosts is 6, but then we also talk about 7 being recommended, and then the maximum number of hosts is 24. But I've also seen 32 being mentioned. Maybe you can talk us through those numbers and explain what the actual minimum number is and the maximum number and what we recommend and why.
Yeah. We want to make sure there's zero confusion around this. But one important area to note here is in the past with OSA, customers sort of had to choose between performance and space efficiency, right? They that is to say, they deployed RAID 1 if the workloads demanded the performance requirements, and usually RAID 6 or some of the RAID 6 erasure coding based technologies if they're okay with the performance but require the space efficiency. But with vSAN ESA, customers need not make this choice. And keep in mind that vSAN Max is based on vSAN ESA. You can achieve high performance and space efficiency with RAID 6 erasure coding. So for this reason, vSAN Max defaults to R6 configurations. And this is the reason why we require a minimum of 6 nodes in the vSAN Max cluster. However, that's the minimum, right? So from best practices, in the unlikely event, for example, in an unlikely event, you were to lose a host in your environment, you'll need spare host to take over and sort of as a fallback mechanism for the host that you might lose. So that's probably why your listeners see the seven in an N plus one configuration, so a 7 node minimum. And you'll see this explained in pKealer's documentation as well. But just keep in mind that outside of several operational factors for which you may choose to have, you know, outside of this, there are several other reasons why you might choose to have other higher node counts. And some of this, pros and cons of which are documented in the form of blogs. The number of nodes is a factor of essentially the desired capacity for the cluster and the capacity per node you choose to activate based on the ready node profiles we have. But keeping in mind that you need to include factors such as, number of slots in your host. So, for example, you might not want to fill it up all the way, right, because you give it room to scale up so as to not incur the capex of adding an additional host in your environment. To this, there's also factors, there's also a sort of a tested limit from a vSAN Max perspective. So that those are sort of the numbers you see. Some are requirements based on the fact that we choose RAID 6 in our environment. Some are requirements for the maximum achievable density, which is 24 as factor of the 360 terabytes per node and achieving 8.6 petabytes on a per cluster basis, and others are just testing maximums.
One of those things that probably most listeners will also be interested in understanding is the networking aspect. And I know at first when we spoke about at Explore, people were mentioning 100 gig networks. Now, the last things or notes that I've seen around vSAN Max, it seems that we've changed that slightly. So maybe you can talk us through what it looks like from a networking perspective, both from a server side point of view and maybe also from a client side of view.
Yeah, this is, yes, for sure. So vSAN Max is based, again, it's an all NVMe-based model. And all NVMe-based environments are capable of delivering extremely high performance, right? So in this scenario, networking can quickly become a bottleneck. And this is the reason why, especially in the higher end ready node profiles, you see 100 gig as a max for cluster operations themselves. And we recommend 100, we really do recommend 100 gig through and through for the most optimal performance. But we understand that, this is not always possible because that's a heavy lift to switch from 25 gig networking in your data center to 100 gig networking through and through. So, I maybe didn't touch on this before, but one of the other use cases for vSAN Max is also, we allow you to leverage existing gear and therefore existing networking, right? So you might have older environments, older blade chassis, for example, in your environment that, it's not capable of 100 gig or you don't need 100 gig or cannot even scale up, meaning you cannot add storage to it to deploy a vSAN cluster, for example. Those environments are likely to be older and therefore probably have 25 or 10 gig networking. Those environments can also connect to vSAN Max as long as your performance profiles allow you to do so. This is another added benefit of vSAN Max. But that's from a client side of things or a client perspective. We are, to your point, as the capacity per node goes down, you don't need We're, you know, continually evaluating, reevaluating how best to provide the best experience for our customer. But as a capacity per node go down, and which also implies that the performance per node perhaps will also be comparably reduced, we'll support lower requirements as well. You will see options for 25 gig networking in some of our lower end on one of our smaller profiles, which not only from a capacity perspective is smaller than the higher profiles, but also, as mentioned, comparable reduction in performance as well.
Now, from a services perspective, I know vSAN is a pretty much inside out, but of course vSAN Max is quite new. When it comes to vSAN Max, do we actually support all of the different data services that we have available within ESA as well? So things like RAID 5, RAID 1, RAID 6, but also things like stretch clustering, file services, iSCSI. Are all of those different things supported?
Yeah, this is a good question. So as discussed before, vSAN Max will default to an R6 storage profile, right? We discussed the reasons because we can provide the highest level of performance at the most efficient in the most efficient way from a space efficient perspective. So R6 is the will be the supported initially at least will be the supported deployment model for vSAN Max. But yes, all of the features and functions are supported. You know, that's supported in ESA are available with Max as well. vSAN Max can be deployed if you were to look at this within the context of a consumer of storage and a provider of storage, meaning the consumer being the vSphere clients or the vSphere clusters, and the provider of storage, of course, being vSAN Max in the environment. From a provider of storage to provide even higher levels of resiliency in for your storage, you can deploy vSAN Max in a stretch cluster deployment model. So if you were to think that you have vSAN Max, visualize this image where you have vSAN Max as a stretch cluster deployment, and you have vSAN ESA up top. The vSAN ESA, I'm sorry, the compute clusters, which is your consumer of storage, can be either deployed within the same vCenter boundary there where your vSAN Max is, so therefore consuming storage within that vCenter boundary where your vSAN Max is, or between vCenter boundaries as well. So you might have vSAN Max could be deployed in a brand new environment. So it's all greenfield. You know, you want to keep it distinct and separate. So you deploy it separately from your existing environment. And the difference being not only the hardware and the fact that it's vSAN Max, but you also have vCenter boundaries. So you can also provision that storage to across a vCenter boundary to workloads, some of your legacy workloads that are running in your environment today. That could also consume storage with a newly deployed vSAN Max environment. But yeah, I mean, we are all of the services like file services and, you know, where it's important to bring you a unified storage experience. All those services are supported within the context of vSAN Max. And, we'll publish a full list of all the different support matrix so it's easy to consume. There should be no reason to really, within the context of a disaggregated storage deployment, and considering that this is vSAN under the covers, we encourage customers to just leverage vSAN, the native vSAN topologies to be able to mount those workloads and consume the storage and not really have to use iSCSI or anything like that. But essentially, all features and functions supported within the context of ESA are also supported in vSAN Max, also with a couple of caveats that I just discussed.
Now, one of the things with HCI Mesh itself, when you have a stretch cluster configuration from a vSAN standpoint, it seems that the client cluster itself, so the vSphere cluster, cannot be stretched across locations today. Is that a limitation that also applies to vSAN Max? Or?
Yeah, when a consumer of storage is a vSAN HCI cluster, it's important to note this. But so if you're the consumer, like we discussed earlier, and the consumer of storage is a vSAN HCI-based cluster, it can be stretched and it can be consumed. So meaning what it does is not only provide storage level resiliency, but also compute level resiliency because it has this notion of fault domains. But if your consumer of storage are compute only nodes, meaning there's no vSAN configured on the client, then there's no notion of a compute only fault domain, right? So this would, that would be sort of a single site only. I mean, you could choose to do it, that will only be a single site only, but you will still enjoy the storage resiliency factor provided by vSAN Max. So if your vSAN Max stretches cluster is stretched, but your compute-only nodes are single-site only. Since we don't have the notion of a fault domain, you still enjoy the fact that your data is protected on both sides.
Now I understand why it is as well, because we don't have the notion of fault domains. I didn't realize that. Now, one of the other things that we are probably, or we probably should be covering, is what it actually requires from a compute perspective to connect to vSAN Max. Is there anything in particular that we need? Do we need a particular version of vSphere? From a networking perspective, we already briefly alluded to it, but maybe it's good to talk to some of those requirements from that compute side perspective.
Yeah. This is the beauty of enabling or leveraging vSAN Max in your environment. As discussed, vSAN Max is also deployed or can be deployed sort of within the context of a VC, just like you would a CI cluster, right? So you can have a single VC acting as both, or deploying both HCI environments and fully disaggregated environments. vSAN services menu now has been enhanced to also create, so you'll see three options, essentially, the vSAN HCI, which we know and love, vSAN Max, of course, and you can also create a vSAN compute-only cluster. This is where you have there are some minimum requirements, of course, for this as well from a vSphere perspective. This is where you choose your vSphere cluster that you would, for example, would like to leverage and act as become a consumer of storage. For example, you want a database workload that you intend to run on this vSphere cluster. So once you click choose the desired cluster, you follow through the steps to configure the compute-only cluster, and which then deploys basically a small vSAN client. This is how we keep this, vSAN through and through. We deploy a small vSAN client on this vSphere cluster. And then once the compute cluster is configured, you follow sort of a workflow to mount that data store. And please keep in mind here, when I say mount, people might think this is analogous to an NFS mount, but it is a mount workflow, but it's still vSAN under the covers. But once you follow this workload to mount the data store from the vSAN Max cluster to the newly created computer cluster, then basically you're ready to deploy workloads and you have full access to that particular vSAN Max cluster. It's also important to note that once you're going through that workflow, we go through like a litany of built-in mount pre-checks to verify everything is basically okay and verifying connectivity and compatibility between the client cluster and the storage cluster.
We've mentioned clients a couple of times. It's probably also good to discuss some of the limitations that we have in terms of the number of hosts that can connect, maybe the number of clusters that can connect to vSAN Max. Now, I also realize that this is typically a moving target between every single release, but let's just aim on the release that is coming. What are some of those numbers for vSAN Max specifically?
Yeah. This is important to note for sure. Today, from a client cluster perspective, we can mount up to a maximum of 5 vSAN Max data stores. So that's when if you imagine you have all these different vSAN Max environments deployed, and from a client perspective, you can mount up to a maximum of 5 vSAN Max data stores. Additionally, a server cluster, that is to say, a vSAN Max data store, can be mounted onto a maximum of 5 client clusters. So those are the current numbers as far as just the sheer mount capabilities from a client and vSAN Max perspective. Lastly, regarding the total number of hosts, there can be a total number of 128 hosts in any combination of client and storage nodes for a given environment. So, for example, if you have a 28 vSAN Max nodes in a cluster, as an example, then you can have up to 100 client nodes in that same cluster. So no matter what the combination of those two numbers are, you can go up to 128 nodes in the given environment.
Yeah, I guess that's something that customers will have to think about when they procure these larger environments, when they procure a vSAN Max cluster itself. Now, talking about the procurement of vSAN Max, that's probably one question I should ask, and I'm not sure if you can answer it, but that is the licensing aspect of vSAN Max itself. I'm guessing you don't know any dollar numbers just yet, but you may be able to share, some insights in terms of how it's licensed and what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. We can go into sort of the model itself. First off, it's important to note that vSAN Max is a completely new offering, but part of the vSAN family itself, right? The current editions, we're not changing any of the current editions, will remain the same. That is, you know, Enterprise, Enterprise Plus, Advanced Standard, all those additions will still remain the same, but those additions itself will not include VSAN Max, right? So it, because VSAN Max is a net new licensing, it's a net new product within the VSAN family. Also, probably important to note that there is no support for, you know, in-place upgrade, for example, from an existing edition to VSAN Max. And important to note, and one of the reasons is because VSAN Max follows a capacity-based licensing model in alignment with more of the, you know, the storage, how storage is consumed today. And it's based on the amount of raw terabytes claimed by VSAN in your environment. Of course, but the beautiful thing is this particular license includes everything you need to run the VSAN Max environment. So you don't have to worry about, you know, vSphere licensing or anything like that. So once you get the, you know, the license based on the application requirements for your environment and the cluster requirements for your environment, you can, you're away and running. You deploy VSAN Max and you have everything you need to, you know, manage and monitor with the single license key.
I'm guessing that, you know, this different licensing model is something that will definitely interest our customers. Now, before I let you go, first of all, thanks for a fantastic episode. But I will also like to give you the opportunity to provide any famous last words or plug anything you would like to plug.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very interesting space for us. We are very excited about this announcement. So, you know, please do, your listeners should watch this space for, you know, lots of interesting updates as we progress. But also wanted to make sure if you, anyone wants to visit and want to see some visuals and whatnot, we did do a session in VMware Explorer in Las Vegas earlier this year with talked about all the benefits of storage disaggregation with VSAN Max. And I certainly encourage for those of your listeners who are visiting Barcelona this year to also visit the VSAN Max session, because it's going to be very interesting. And make sure that you ask a lot of good questions so you can get a lot out of the session.
And that's it. We've reached the end of another episode of the Unexplored Territory podcast. If I have to summarize today's episode, then my key takeaway would be that VSAN Max provides scalable, disaggregated storage through the power of the Express Storage Architecture and is as easy to manage as VSAN HCI. Again, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and rate the podcast wherever possible. If you have any feedback, send us a message on Twitter on @unexploredpod. Last but not least, I would like to thank Kalyan for a fantastic episode.